Hi, this is Hugh Greenwood from the North Melbourne Footy Club, and you're listening to another episode of the Hashtag Kangaroos podcast. Here is your host, Dean Basich.
Welcome to another episode. My name is Dean Vasic. You can find me on X at hashtag Kangas, Instagram hashtag Kangaroos Podcast, TikTok hashtag Kangaroos One. So tonight I am joined by my Thursday regulars, Jesse Cardinal and Siobhan Rowe. Now, we had a lot to go through. Well, I think we spoke for over an hour. We went on a few rants about certain individual players. I think most of it was spent on Jesse doing a written apology, reading that out for Tristan Cherry, who's going to be a future All-Australian. Clearly joking there, but he did have some praise for Jesse, not for Jesse, for Tristan Cherry. We talked about team changes, the latest there, our preview against coming up against Fremantle. Are we confident? Can we win? Our first home game for the season. Let's not waste any more of our valuable time. Let's bring on Jesse and Siobhan to talk about it. So tonight, I welcome back to the show my Thursday night regulars, Siobhan Rowe and Jesse Cardinal. Jesse, I'm going to rename this show Tristan Cherry, the Appreciation Show. We'll talk about that later. Now, we are here to preview the game coming up this Thursday, all jokes aside. But before we do that, we'll talk a little bit about last week. And Siobhan, I will start with you this week. We pretty much predicted the score ourselves last week, saying it would be between a margin of 30 to 50 points. High-quality opposition, premiership favourite, so no complaints. But were you happy and did you take something out of the game?
Absolutely I was. I thought that we competed well, removed the scoreboard from the equation, because if you look at how many points GWS scored, I think it might have been a different game if they'd kicked accurately. But if you're purely looking at some of the games that we play this year through the lens that I am, which is just watching how the kids go, watching how the game plan's evolving, and just the general sort of flow of play and overall how we're going as a side, I thought it was a really positive game and definitely quite a few really good things to take away from it. The game plan, when it was up and running, we looked great. Obviously, we kicked accurately. The kids had a great debut, so I thought Dersma had his moments. McKercher was very classy and nailed every kick off halfback, so that was really positive to see. I thought we scored well over their turnovers. That was one of the things I did notice and enjoyed watching. There are obviously plenty of areas to improve, but overall I thought that there were a lot of really good signs from the group. Callan Dawson was great down back. That was a really big positive, because that's probably the area of the ground where we're the most shaky, so it was nice to see him sort of play really well. And it was a game overall where we took our chances, and when we were on, we were on. When we weren't, then we got punished, but you expect that when you're playing the top sides. So, I think I put out a tweet on the day and I just sort of said that it's frustrating. It's very tantalizing when you watch us, because there are moments where we look so good. And don't forget, we actually got within a kick after we had a really poor start as well. So we were in the game. Whether it's the fact we're a young side, we don't believe yet that we can win. We didn't go on with it, and I don't think anyone expected us to. But I'm hoping we get to the point where it's expected that we try and fight back, we come back. It just has to happen. But it was frustrating from my point of view, watching how close we got, and then the ball would just go straight back into the Giants' forward line and there would be an easy mark taken. And it was almost like we've got all these parts of the rebuild together, like the midfield looks really solid, the game plan is coming together, but some personnel issues with our keys, whether it's another key forward and some key backs, a part of the reason that the team's sort of being let down at the moment. That's the way I'm sort of viewing it. And I guess that's just the process of a rebuild and the way we've gone about it by going midfield out. But if we can just get some of that spine, another key forward to help Larky, some more sort of high quality defenders in the back half, then I think things will start turning for us. So it's just we're that little bit way off at the moment, but we're also really close, it seems, to really start putting the jigsaw together. So that's the way I viewed the game. It was very up and down, but overall a very good effort for the context of where we were playing and who we were playing as well.
Yeah, Jesse, I mean, fair points by Siobhan Rowe there. I mean, second quarter, we did get within a goal and things were certainly looking up. But, I mean, you look at the GWS team, it's a lot more experienced and there's a lot more quality in that team at this moment. You've got Josh Kelly, Stephen Cornelio getting tackled by George Wardlaw and handballing it with his opposite hand 20 metres into space for a player, which is out of control. I mean, it seems like they were just a bit too good, and we kind of have to accept that some teams will be a bit more seasoned. We are the most inexperienced team. But, yeah, like Siobhan said, there was a lot to like. We're slowly starting to see the jigsaw come together. So, yeah, there's lots to like, isn't there, Jesse, I guess?
Yeah, look, I think the biggest thing for me was the game style. As I've said the last few weeks, this preseason is the first time that I've seen a game style that you can recognise what we are trying to do. I think under Noble, there was no semblance of game style. Clarko last year obviously was trying to put something in place, but it was a very interrupted year. This is the first time we've seen a game style in play. It is a game style that we will get scored against. It's a game style that we will get hurt against, especially with our back line. Like Siobhan said, we don't, you know, we've let our team down a little bit with our list profile and how we've constructed the list. But, you know, as I said off air, you could have Alex Rance and Matthew Scarlett down there and you'd probably still concede a fair score if your midfield is playing as loose as they are. And it's going to take them time to learn how to play an aggressive style of football but also be accountable. But ultimately, regardless of the score, the fact that we committed to a game style, we absolutely went all in on it and we didn't deviate from that and we were able to score. That was the biggest thing for me, regardless of what they scored. The fact is that we were able to put on a decent score. We weren't, you know, with some games over the last few years, we've struggled to put on 4 or 5 goals. We were actually able to score, which is against a really quality defense. So that's the biggest takeaway for me. The kids were, you know, I thought the kids were really good. Dersma was one who, you know, before a few weeks ago, I didn't have playing round one and he should have kicked 3 goals. That third one was a bit of a miff, but he should have absolutely kicked 3 goals. That big mark he took at 50, turned around, kicked it from 50 was huge. He's got massive upside. And McKercher, he has a kick on him. Going at, you know, 80-odd% by foot's pretty impressive. And I think the midfield for me, what surprised, I was going to go into a thing about how, you know, Sheasel was fantastic. You know who surprised me the most pleasantly? Tom Powell. That was his best game for the football club.
Good point.
Best game for the football club. He had 26 disposals. He went at 85% disposal efficiency. Now, 16 of those were handballs, so that, like, absolutely. But he was, I thought he was fairly clean with it. And I just thought he actually relished the opportunity of being given a significant amount of time in the midfield.
Very true.
Yeah, he was our third highest clearance player, which is you know, great. He was our third highest centre clearance player, and I think we've always said with Tom Powell that he would be a really, really good player if given the midfield time. And this game, it kind of surprised me because I just wasn't expecting them to do that. I expected them to go with a lot more of a mix. And they did it. I mean, I haven't seen the CBAs from the game yet. Maybe I'll try and find it. But it seemed like we went with a very steady midfield. And he definitely was in the majority, along with, you know, Wardlaw and LDU. He seemed to really, really enjoy it. Because like you said, Dean, they have a quality midfield. You've got Kelly doing things that you shouldn't be able to do. They've got Cornelio, who's a freak. You've got Tom Green, you've got Tom Green, who is phenomenal, could win the Brownlow this year. You've got Toby Green, who can roll in there and can be as damaging as anyone in the midfield. So they've got a fair midfield, and I thought we were able to take it up to them in the guts. I think we won the clearance, didn't we? So we were able to beat them in an area of the ground that they're really, really strong. So look, I think if you're, you know, I think any North fan should be pretty pleased with the effort.
Definitely. Now, I was about to segue to Tom Powell because there is an extension coming for him fairly soon, Siobhan. I think it's going until 2026, an extra 2 years. Obviously, a fantastic preseason. Jesse's talked him up. I think he's going to be part of our future. I mean, there was talk last year that he may even be going back to South Australia, but there was no offers for him from Adelaide teams, which I found a bit surprising. They might have been able to get him for fairly cheap, but it seems like he's here to stay, Siobhan, and judging by his pre-season, he certainly deserves that extra 2 years, doesn't he?
Certainly deserves it, yeah. I think Tom Powell's a victim of our list build, and that, I've said that for a little while. He's always been good enough as a midfielder. I think he's a quality midfielder. If you keep him there, he'll deliver for the side. He's got good sidestep. He's got tricks. I think he's got footy smarts, and some of the players on the list just don't. So I think that's what makes him stand out. He uses it well, and he thinks things through. So he's a quality midfielder, and I think living up to that sort of pick 13 tag now, which is really lovely to see, and he deserves the extension. I'm glad he'll be a player for us for a long time. We tried him at half back. We tried him at sort of as a half forward, but I think his spot is in the guts. He's a pure mid, and he'll deliver for us there for a long time to come. So a well-deserved extension, and hopefully he can play regular minutes in there throughout the year for us.
Jesse, he had 26 centre bounce attendances last week, the second most behind LDU. He pretty much was in there. Yeah, LDU was in every centre bounce for 30. Tom Powell, 26. George Wardlaw, 21. Lazaro, 18. Zerha, 6. Paul Curtis, 1. So, yeah, I mean, that's probably going to be the quartet you have to think going into this Saturday. And it's almost like he's the second midfielder. Well, he's the second most experienced, Jesse. I mean, Wardlaw, Lazaro. You're not going to really count Liam Shields. He's out of the team anyway. But, yeah, I mean, I guess he has to step up this year, doesn't he, with the inexperience we have.
Oh, absolutely he does. Yeah, look, you are right. He technically is the second most experienced one in there. Look, Jai Simpkins playing this week. Now, we know that he played more of a half, high half forward role during the preseason. And you'd expect that they continue with that and he continues to play that role. I'd be hoping that they don't deduct too much from Powell's midfield time to get Simpkin back in there. Absolutely get him in there. Share the love around a little bit. You saw in the second half, they got Zerha in there, and I thought he did a really good role, pinch hitting, coming in there, and he was really effective in that third, especially when the midfielders probably got a bit tired. But you want to see Powell get first crack at it. For mine, that's a really good midfield mix. You've got LDU, who can step out of the contest. You've got Wardlaw, who will attack the man, good pressure, get the ball in. And then you've got Powell, who is really clean by hand. I actually think he's underrated by foot. Mm. And he adds a little bit of a different dynamic. I think the one thing I would have liked to have seen a little bit more from a midfield perspective is Sheasel. We saw that in the preseason. He got a lot more midfield time. He didn't get any. He just played half back, and he was great half back. He racked up the ball and he disposed with it. Fantastic. But it was just it was curious to me they didn't give him a lot of midfield time. I would have liked to have seen that.
No, and that's fair enough. I mean, I think it might be a combination of swapping him and Zerha between games and stuff like that. Maybe Zerha doesn't go in this week and Sheasel goes in for 5 or 6 CBAs. I'm not too sure. It might be a week-by-week proposition depending on who the other team has in the midfield. But, getting back to Tom Powell, it's going to be a good challenge for him this week going against Caleb Sarong and Brayshaw. So another big challenge. Sarong had 46 touches last week. So
most ever for Freo player, which is incredible.
You know the irony of Sarong as well, that that was the pick that we gave up that year. So the year that we took Phillips and Powell, but the year before we obviously forward traded our pick to Melbourne, who then off traded that pick to Fremantle to take Sarong. So it was an interesting one. I'm not saying obviously right or wrong. I'm not saying anything at all. But yeah, Sarong was the pick that we had that we gave to Melbourne, and they took Cozzy Pickett, and we ended up taking Powell the year after. So, not doing a comparison between Powell, Cozzy Pickett, and Sarong, but look, I'm quietly confident that Powell will be up to the standard of those guys.
Well, certainly I hope so, because I kind of lost my enthusiasm just then, Jesse, when you started naming all the names. So,
it's not our worst trades. That's okay.
No, absolutely not. No, we've done a lot worse, that's for sure. Getting back to last week, and Siobhan, there was criticism for the back line last week. You talked about it before that we're sort of probably lacking a key defender. Matthew Lloyd sort of came with a lazy narrative of not getting a key defender. But I did think they held up quite well, considering the tsunami that was coming in. Even Nick Larkey mentioned that the ball's coming in too quick for him. We didn't do our job up the field. How did you see it?
They were okay. I thought Dawson was really good. I thought Dawson was excellent. I just can't believe he wasn't playing more last year. He looked like a general back there. I think we're just so inexperienced, and the experience that we have were crap on the day. I thought Aiden Corr, that was not his finest hour. He's obviously got runs on the board, so we can all sort of say he'll come back and play a role. But he was okay on the day. Pink was okay again. I mean, it's his first AFL game. No one's having a go at him. I thought he had some nice moments. They need time to gel together as a back half. Do we need more talent and experience in there? Yes. Is that going to happen this season or overnight? No. So this is what we've got to work with. I'm slowly coming to terms with that. I think it can be frustrating when the ball comes in there and you almost just expect them to score. But in saying that, I'm sure this is a topic we'll discuss a bit later in the podcast, but the ball gets rebounded out of our forward 50 way too easily. And then when you've got a really quality side like the Giants, they can just transition the ball so quickly that you blink and they've got a mark or a crumb inside forward 50. So, I mean, it's devastating to lose Goda. That's another topic I'm sure we'll touch on. But he was excellent against Toby Green. And I just think all areas of the ground in the back half were a bit shaky. Like, I still don't think we've got a genuine lockdown small or defender. I thought Goda was excellent again against Green, and he probably was going to fill that position. But with McDonald coming back in the side, I'm hoping he will provide some experience and leadership down there to maybe steady the ship a bit more than what we saw in round one. Everyone played their role and everyone was okay, and we've just got to work with what we've got. I think Comben in there will add something different. I'm hopeful he'll be back sooner rather than later as well. But Pink's played one game. Dawson's played a handful. There's just a lot of inexperience in there, and they did their job with what they could do.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we'll give Aiden Corr a pass because he is coming from an injury-interrupted preseason. It was kind of rushed back just through, weighted numbers. Obviously, I wanted to get a bit of an experienced player. But, he wasn't great, so we'll give him a pass. But we don't want him to get back to how he was before the last eight rounds of last season, where he was, he probably wasn't looking like the greatest recruit we've ever had. So, yeah, hopefully he can bounce back this week. Jesse, there was a lot of criticism for Toby Pink, which I thought was unwarranted. I thought it was the pressure up the field that didn't do him any favours. He did get caught out of position a few times, being far too in front of Jesse Hogan. But he's trying to read the play. I can understand that. I mean, he certainly deserves at least another couple more weeks, doesn't he, to try and prove his worth in an AFL system.
Oh, absolutely. And what's the alternative? I mean, there's not like a massive list of people waiting to come in for him. We're talking about someone who was the best Sandford defender last year. So they know what they're doing defensively. As I said, if you're going to criticise, absolutely. Was he perfect? No. Was he on an absolutely in-form power forward? Yes. And I don't care who you've got down the back there. If you've got our midfield and our forward line providing as little pressure up the field that they were, it doesn't matter who you are, you're not going to be able to stop a forward. So look, I completely agree with you, Dean. I think he absolutely needs a few weeks to find his feet at AFL level. This week he's going to have a pretty tough gig because they've got Tabernas back, plus they've got who's the young forward they've got. He's
Jai Miss.
Time we played him, didn't he do a number on Core or something? But anyway, they've got a pretty solid forward line. And then the week after, we've got, it doesn't get much easier, you've got Charlie Curnow and Harry Mackay. So I'd be definitely playing him at least until that Carlton game, and then make some judgments on if you want to try something else. But look, I think anyone, I think some of the commentary on him was a bit poor. People went, a little bit too hard on him in terms of his capability. And like I said, I think it's just a bit harsh to go that hard on someone who's playing really their first game of, well, their first game of AFL football, and the conditions of how he had to play it. So, look, let's see how he goes over a few weeks before, you know, we pass judgment.
Definitely. Siobhan, I'd love to get your opinion on Zach Fisher. To me, he looked a bit undersized. He got one-on-one. He got pretty much outmarked in every situation. And sometimes he got found out deep in the back half just through cross matches and, you know, playing a bit of a zone defense. What do you think of him? Does the good outweigh the bad? Obviously, he gives a lot of meters gain, gives a lot of drive. His skills are generally pretty good, although he did turn it over a few times on the weekend. I mean, I guess what I'm trying to say is, does he need to get 25-plus possessions, 500 metres gained, to outweigh the problems one-on-one where he gets outmarked pretty much in every situation?
Yes. That's a very brief answer to that. And I think Alistair Clarkson's probably having the same discussion with him that you're having with me now, because he's on the bench this week. He's not in the starting lineup. Read into that what you will. But I thought he was okay, but he does, and this is what opposition players will know as well, is that he can get very easily exploited in a one-on-one situation, because he's not a small defender. He is a running sort of player that provides drive and that sort of link-up man when it comes to driving us forward, but his defensive skills are very limited, which is, he brings his own unique skill set to the club, but it'll get exposed over time. And obviously, my dad being a Carlton supporter, I watched a lot of him at the Blues. I wouldn't be surprised if at some point we try him as a small forward, because that's where he did play a lot of at Carlton. He has a skill set there, and he's a left footer. And you do notice as well sometimes that opposition players will corral him, and that's when you'll see him make a skill error, because he's not comfortable kicking on his right foot. So, he has his pros. At the moment, his pros are outweighing his cons. But as an opposition players figure him out a bit more, he'll have to add a few more tricks to the bag to continue to be a strong contributor to the side. In the preseason, he looked really, really good. And when he gets the ball, he's usually fairly reliable with it in terms of just driving us forward. But his defensive skills are questionable.
Yeah, I was going to finish that for you and say questionable, so no, I'm glad you did that. Jesse, I know we talk about this individual a lot, probably in the pre-season, but it seems like Baylor Scott's going to have a mix of halfback and on the wing. I still like to see him permanently on the wing, but it looks like we're going to get a mixture of both, aren't we?
Well, he played mostly halfback last week, which was, which is bizarre. Look, I think most of us are in agreement that we would rather see him play that wing position as a permanent fixture, but they seem adamant on wanting to play him at a half back role, which is just intriguing with all of the other people that we've got available to that. Look, I thought he was solid last week. I think that's probably a way of, you know, probably the best way to describe it. He, you know, what did he have? He had 23 disposals. He was 500 meters gained. You know, he was at his normal. But if you look at the bulk of his possessions, you know, on the AFL app on the tracker, most of them are in the halfback line. I think there was only five that were, I think there's only two that are forward of center. So is that the role we want him playing? It just seems a little bit odd. I'd rather him more up the ground. If you've got your McKercher and your Fisher, like, I don't see the need of having Fisher, McKercher, Sheasel and Scott as your running halfbacks. So that just it seems a little bit odd to me. If you're going to do that, play Fisher at a wing or something. It just, because, you know, who predominantly played wing for us? Well, it was, you know, Stevens had one locked in. That other one was kind of shared by a bit of everyone, which was, you know, a little bit weird. I'd rather have a permanent wing fixture. It almost felt like they wanted the half or the spare high half forward to play wing at times. And I'm very much one of those people who's all in on having dedicated wingers as a dedicated position.
I agree.
Like, if you look at some of the best clubs in the league, they have dedicated wingers who are fantastic at their job and they know what their job is. It's not a midfielder. It's a specific role. And I think you've got to have two of them. So, yeah, look, I definitely have him on that other wing. So it'd be interesting to see what they do this week. I'm sure it's something that's iterative and they'll change it as the year goes. But, yeah, I'm in agreement with you too. I'd be playing him predominantly, if not solely, on that wing.
I think Darcy Tucker spent a fair bit of time on the wing as well.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, not that we probably noticed. I mean, I think he only had 11 touches or something like that. So, but he was there, maybe in spirit more than actually on the football field. But Siobhan, Charlie Lazaro, there's a lot of criticism for him. People already are calling for him to be dropped. Now, it's between him and Will Phillips for that last midfield spot. But I still think after the preseason he's had, he still deserves more opportunity. I think it's been a bit harsh, the narrative that, let's be reactive and drop him after one poor performance against a high-quality GWS midfielder. He's probably got the strongest midfield in the competition. I mean, he'd want to do better than 18 centre bounce attendances and have zero clearances, wouldn't he? Insane, that.
Yes. I mean, again, I'm probably the wrong person to talk to about Charlie Lazaro because I was never on the bus. I sort of like caught the bus at the 10th stop. and I'm not quite sure if I'm still on the bus or which stop I'm getting off at with Lazaro. I think he can play better than that. And there's no need to call for his head yet, but he was poor compared to the standards that he's shown in the practice matches. But in my opinion, I don't think he's actually proved himself at AFL level yet. In my mind, when you prove yourself at AFL level, you've strung together more than just one or two really good games. Until he's to do that, I still have question marks on whether or not he's part of our long-term future. Absolutely deserves his spot this week, and I'm hoping he turns it around. But he just needs to be better. He needs to be stronger and he needs to be better in the contest. If he's going to play in that position, he's got to fight his way through the challenges of the opposition mids. Because, I mean, when we look at each team in the competition, we're near the bottom for a reason. Every team is better. Every midfield we come up against is going to have really quality players. So in the AFL, it's relentless. So there's no real easy beats or a team where you can say, oh, yes, beautiful, we're going to have an easy week this week. So he's got to play against the best and be at his best to really make a stamp in the side. But you make a good point in that I truly think it's Phillips and Lazaro now fighting for that spot in the side. Mm. But once again, Phillips was not even in the emergency. So how far ahead of Phillips is Lazaro in the mind of the North Melbourne coaching staff at the moment? I don't think there's that much of a discrepancy between the two. They bring different elements to the side, but they're the two that are probably chasing that spot. But it seems Lazaro's miles ahead, which I struggled to comprehend, but that's... The coaches are getting paid the big bucks, aren't they? So they probably know more than us. But yes, he'll stay in the side this week, but we want to see more from him, more centre clearances, more of that real aerobic capacity that he has as well. I thought at times he didn't show all that he can do.
No, definitely not. No, it definitely wasn't his best performance. I mean, his best game that he's ever played was the round 23 game against Gold Coast last year. Outside of that, he probably hasn't shown enough outside of that, really. But look, his preseason has been solid enough. It was a lot better than Will Phillips. And, Will Phillips is an interesting case at the moment. There's obviously a lot of rumours about him and his future, but they are just rumours at this stage. And I find it hard to believe that round one into a season that, we're already trying to shop him for next year. I find that very hard to believe. I still think there's a future there for him. Jesse, speaking of players that have proven themselves at AFL level, future All-Australian Tristan Sherry. you can't really find any faults in his game last week. He was close to our best player.
Do you want me to start with the fault that I found in his game?
you can try.
Look, my only negative from him, all right, my only negative from him was some of his tap work, his headouts to advantage, were not great. If, I don't know what his HTAs were, but I don't think they were fantastic. However, we're talking about a man who was leading the ground for clearance. So, I mean, that's a big tick. He had 8, equal with LDU. He was also he was actually the leader on the ground for centre clearances. So LDU had 5, Power 5, Green 3. So he had 6. We're talking, he kicked a goal. I thought it was a very good goal. It was a good mark and a good goal.
Yeah, it was.
Look, we're gonna pay that to him. He was very impressive. He had 18 disposals. Now, most of them were handballs, but he went with 83%. So it means he wasn't just handballing it up in the air, which is a good start. Yeah, look, I thought it was a pretty impressive game. He's not going to be the type of player who is absolutely dominating the hitouts and is not tapping it to, you know, he's not going to be your Max Gorn tapping it to the absolute advantage of your midfielders. Let's be honest. We all know that. However, he has exceeded my expectations. His ability to absolutely rip in at the contest, tackle, win the ball and handball the ball out is absolutely key. So I think I made a joke off air that he's gone from my worst rated ruckman in the comp to somewhere around 14th. I did a little bit of a poll during the week and yeah, he's climbing the list. I'm confident that he can maybe make it into the top 8 rucks in the comp by the end of the season if he keeps this form up. But look, in all honesty, we know he has a ceiling on him. We know that he's not going to be that elite tap ruckman, but we don't necessarily need that at this point in time. We just need someone who's happy to crunch in, absolutely be physical at the contest, make a presence. And so, you know what? I apologize for some of my comments this offseason because I was wrong. He has exceeded my expectations pleasantly.
Well, it takes a big man to admit they're wrong, Jesse. And look, at the end of the day, we're all on the same boat. We weren't sure if he was going to be good enough to be the number one ruckman in the team. So, yeah, full credit to him. He's obviously worked really hard in the preseason. I think maybe that foot injury played a part in his down season last year. He did start in the round one team and Todd Goldstein was out. Then he broke his foot within a quarter and a half. So maybe that played, you know, on his mind or physically he wasn't able to do what he's able to do. But his follow-up work after the hit-outs or, you know, competing in the ruck was outstanding. And even Adam Kingsley, opposition coach, sort of praised him, said he's very similar to Kieran Briggs, got 8 clearances himself. So, yeah, full credit to him. Hopefully he keeps it up. Siobhan, I'm going to go to your boy now. So since we're going to people's boys, I did think about CCJ in the shower this week, that's for sure. But, look, I mean, he's been named this week, which is a positive, but and I think even we talked about this off air, that he sort of – playing against GWS, it didn't suit him, did it? I mean, the rebound they create with their pace, it was pretty much a witch's hat out there trying to defend that. So I think this week he gets an opportunity against Fremantle, who don't have that orange tsunami going from behind the ball. So that's probably a big reason why he's kept his spot. But he might be on his last chance, Siobhan, and that's, and even in round two, I guess.
He needs to be better. So he started the game like a house on fire. I was yelling at my TV. I was thrilled. The element of his game that I think frustrates most people is in the modern game, there's no such thing as a stay-at-home forward. If you're not chasing and if you don't take the mark and you don't even split a pack or create a contest for the smalls, you're obsolete in the current game. And I think what's frustrating is he's not taking his marks. He's not necessarily bringing the ball to ground when it comes into the forward line. But then the ball, which is one of the major problems in the side overall, gets rebounded so quickly out of the forward 50 that at the moment CCJ is not able to follow up as well as he should be. So his role, unless he's taking a mark or creating a spillage, he's doing nothing to provide any kind of role for the side. Now, the fact that we don't have a relief ruckman other than Tristan Sherry, and we don't want to risk Larky getting injured playing ruck to relieve Sherry. My God, if that happened, it would be a nightmare. So he's probably in the side as well because he can be that second relief ruckman for Tristan Sherry. Otherwise, he's skating on very, very thin ice. So I don't know where to go to with him because I think playing him in the VFL is detrimental because he's shown he's kind of that player where he's not quite putting it together at AFL level, but he's better than VFL level. So he's kind of that in-between player at the moment. So he keeps his spot, but if we had more products in the pantry, I think he probably wouldn't be there, to be honest. He needs a bigger game this week. And like you mentioned, Dean, I think the way Freo play is different to the way the Giants play. They're not as quick in spreading across the ground, so that gives him some advantage. They also lost Brennan Cox, who is a quality sort of defender for them. So it might give him a more of an opportunity to really show his wares. So fingers crossed we see the full kind of CCG package this weekend.
Yeah. Well, we're certainly hoping he can turn it around and, yeah, prove us all wrong. But because we have seen, and we've talked about this for a number of weeks, we have seen the potential he has shown in quarters and even at Richmond, but we just haven't seen it at North Melbourne yet. And, it wouldn't surprise me if, he won us the game this week. You know, he had, 10 marks, kicked 4 goals, 3 or something like that. Or he could completely go the other way and be subbed out at halftime. So it's just... Yeah.
All or nothing with him, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, so we'll wait and see, I guess, and time will tell. Jesse, I think during pre-season, I think we're a bit worried about the back half and the ruck, the ruck situation. But another thing that's probably going to be a concern, and we've talked about this before, is the forward half pressure going forward. Now, we haven't named another pressuring forward. But, because I think the concern is that we've got a number of half fours and forward pocket type of players, but they're all one-paced, aren't they? And, against an orange tsunami like that, it goes from the back half to the forward half far too quickly. And I think I've seen Ricky Mangini's article that the transition from defensive 50 to forward 50, they did it 56% of the time, where the AFL average in 2023 was 23%. So it was far too easy on occasions. I don't think it was through a lack of effort. I just think it's through personnel, Jesse. And it's going to be a frustrating part of the year, I think.
Yeah, look, it is. It's been something we've spoken about for a few years now, and we haven't necessarily addressed it. We've got, brought Dersmer in, who's not a small. He was taking good marks above his head, was scoring. The only legitimate small forward that we have is Paul Curtis, and he just wasn't applying the pressure required. We don't have that small forward who can lay tackles, who's going to apply themselves. It is going to be a massive hole, especially with the game style we've got. If we're going to put the ball in there quickly, but then the ball can bounce back quickly, you need small forwards to try and keep the ball in. And unfortunately, that they just weren't there. They just weren't there. They just weren't able to do what was required. And look, Simkin comes back in this week and he plays that high half forward role, like we've discussed.
Right.
He will apply pressure. I'm confident that he'll apply pressure because that's one of the things that he's really good at. And I'm hoping that he will drive a level of accountability with the other forwards to apply that pressure. But it is a gap and it's not something we're going to be able to sort out overnight. I actually don't. It's one of the things that I don't know the fix for. I just don't know the fix for it because we don't want to lose any of our scoring prowess that we have.
Yeah. I just think it's almost the case we're going to have to cop it this year against certain teams. I think they're just going to be far too good transferring the ball from the back half to the forward. We're certainly hoping we don't go against the GWS team every week, and I don't think we'll get that this week. So, it's things we have to work on. I think Ricky put a very good article together sort of saying there was when a player had the ball, we all went to him instead of spreading out and worrying about the overlap and stuff like that. So it's just about being a bit smarter too. And when you've got an inexperienced team, unfortunately, players will make mistakes and we just have to cop it in certain games, I guess. So we'll go to team changes now anyway. Now, Luke McDonald and Jai Simpkin come in for Josh Goda and Liam Shields. I guess the big one there, Siobhan, is Josh Goda, and that's a good blow because he's had an outstanding preseason. He looked like he was set for a big year. I said he was going to have a big year. It's obvious, like we're 5 minutes to go in a game to rupture your Achilles and be out for 12 months. It's obviously heartbreaking for the kid, isn't it?
Oh, it's devastating. Absolutely devastating. Sometimes I think this club's cursed, and then when I saw that on the weekend, I was devastated. It's horrible because it's an injury where It's not that easy to come back from an injury like that as the same player. He's young. I bet he's hungry to build his AFL career. He's a North supporter as a kid. So he's got all these different factors where I'm sure he'll come back bigger and better than ever. And we're all hoping he does. But he has had an outstanding preseason. I think he would have actually locked down that spot. No one was taking it from him unless he got injured. And that's the really horrible part. And he actually played such a great role on Toby Green. And in the back of my mind, I was thinking maybe we've found a defender that sort of has both. They can lock down on the player and they can also provide great speed and drive out of the back half. And then this happens. And it was more the way it happened too. Like there was no one around him. All of a sudden he goes down with that sort of injury, sort of classic Achilles presentation. So yeah, absolutely terrible news for him. And we wish him all the very best with his recovery. And hopefully we see him in 2025 bigger and better than ever. So unfortunately in footy, things move really quickly. And obviously we've got to find a replacement for him. Do I think Luke McDonald is the ongoing replacement for Josh Goddard? We'll find out on the weekend. I mean, I think I've made my thoughts very clear on where Luke McDonald's career sits in my mind. And he's coming back from an injury. I understand that. And I think he'll play a similar role to Goddard. But, yeah, he's the replacement. And I guess we've just got to deal with it.
Yeah, I mean, Jesse, yeah, Luke McDonald, I mean, it's a logical replacement for Josh Goddard, isn't it? I mean, similar sort of players, but I felt like there was a bit more upside with Josh Goddard as opposed to Luke McDonald. But he can play a role for the team similar to Josh Goddard, I guess.
Yeah, look, he can. He can and he has in the past. Look, we're talking about someone who has played a very good lockdown defender role in the past. We just haven't seen it for an extended period of time. That's not to say that he can't get back to that, that he can't do it again. He absolutely can. It's just I think a lot of us have lost patience with what he's been able to produce in recent years. And yeah, so it's a tough one. I initially didn't have him in my side coming in. I had Bergman coming in over him, and that probably shows where I think McDonald's at the moment. Plus, you know, I think Bergman was worth the crack. I thought he was pretty good in the preseason. I think he's a little bit more defensive minded than Goddard. And I think he's quite a high draft pick. You've got to give those kids a go. But look, McDonald is co-captain of the club. He's someone who has played a role in the past. I agree with Siobhan. I don't think he's a long-term future of the club. And look, I don't agree with all the changes they made this week. But he's in. He'll add some experience down there. He's going to have a tough gig. They've got some pretty dangerous forwards. But he's just going to have to – he's going to have to crash in. The one thing that he has frustrated me the last couple of years is his pace has been off. So he hasn't been able to keep up with those really quick defenders. Quick forwards, should I say?
Quick forwards, yeah.
Yeah. While Goddard and Bergman, I think, add a little bit more pace.
No, that's probably a fair assessment too. He might have even lost a yard or two. And with a hamstring injury, he might have even lost more yards, which might scare the shit out of me, to be honest with you, if he's lost any more pace. But, I mean, Siobhan, I'll get back to you in a sec, Jesse, about the team changes, because it sounds like you wanted more changes or certain players to come in. Siobhan, were you happy with the team changes? I mean, there was just the two captains for Goddard and sub Liam Shields. Would you like to see any more?
I think that they were kind of expected, I think. I think we all thought McDonald fit in well, would probably come in and replace Goddard. And, of course, as soon as Simpkin was able to, and, I mean, that's a great story in itself. We didn't know how long Simpkin was going to be out, and by the sounds of it, his recovery from the concussion was the best recovery he's had since he had those multiple knocks sort of in a row. So great to see him back, Skipper's back out there, and hopefully he's feeling well and ready to go for the year. I think Shields going out, I think I mentioned this last week, he's more the experienced leader that we needed when there wasn't any others out there. Now that we've got Simpkin and McDonald back, I think it was logical that Shields went out. I mean, he kicked a goal and he contributed on the day, but he's not the future of North Melbourne. So I think the changes were appropriate, and they were probably the ones that were going to happen. Did I want to see any others? That's a good question because I don't think so. I mean, I thought maybe Clarko would pull the lever and bring Hugh Greenwood in replacement of CCJ. I think, funny enough, both of them are fighting for that spot. But I think there's a way we can exploit Freo a bit in the air with Cox going down. They've got a debutante playing in the back line for the first time this weekend. So maybe he thought that it might be an opportunity to see what CCJ can do against a first game player. So the two kids clearly did well enough to keep their spot. So I think that the changes were okay. And we go again this week.
No, that's it. Now, Jesse, it sounds like you wanted more changes. Who were you thinking?
So the main one for me is that I think Sellers deserved a game. I think he had a really solid preseason, kicked another bag on the weekend, albeit in practice and training. I understand that. But I just think with the way we're playing at the moment, where we're trying to play a very mobile team, quick-paced, etc., CCJ down there just wasn't adding enough pressure and mobility. So it does limit, with the ball coming in that quickly, it limits what Larky is able to do. And I think just adding Sellers in there adds a bit more, you know, a bit more mobility because of his height, but it also it probably works a little bit better with their game style. I thought it was worth a crack. I just think that he had a ripping preseason. They obviously rewarded him, giving him a spot on the list. I hope he's not going to be one that we just waste away because I legitimately think he can make it at football level, at AFL level. The other look, as I said, I would have had Bergman over McDonald. Core, I felt, was rushed back last week. He'll be better for it. McDonald, I'm hoping, is not in the same boat and that he comes back this week and looks rushed. That's my little concern there. I still think McDonald probably gets he definitely gets a spot in the team at full fitness, but I'm a little, I probably would have had Bergman in over him. They're probably the main two for me. I wouldn't have had wholesale changes, not at this stage. Look, I think Lazaro, as we've discussed, if he has a couple of quiet weeks, you know, Phillips is in for a spot, Greenwood potentially, there's a couple who could definitely take his spot. So he'll be, you know, one to watch. I'd love Sellers to get a crack at it. The other one, as we've said, the last few weeks is Charlie Compton. You know, by all reports, he's playing pretty well. I just think that, you know, every week that goes by, the longer, well, while we still need a key forward, albeit we need a key defender, but at some point he has to play either end of the ground. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that's this week. That's fine. I'm happy for them to give him 2-3 weeks in the VFL. But at some stage, they're going to make a call and say, look, we desperately need another key forward. Or he deserves to get a crack down back because we know that he would have a higher ceiling than, say, a Pink, just purely because of his talent level. And we might as well just put him in there. And if he gets 6 kicked on him, then, you know, it doesn't really matter because he's at least learning from it. So, he's one to watch, but they're the two for me. I would have given Sellers a go and just said to CCJ, you know, here's a couple of the things you just need to work on. And I know it was only round one, so it's a bit tough to say that to someone. But, yeah, I think based on what we said, you know, and especially Siobhan highlighted about him, just the way we're trying to play, I think Sellers would add to that.
Yeah, that's fair enough. But he hasn't had the greatest preseason, CCJ, so he doesn't have a good, you know, sample of form from previous weeks. And he just came back from a concussion late in the preseason too, so he's still having issues with that. I mean, it's not the worst thing sometimes to get dropped and try and find a bit of form in the VFL and get your confidence and belief back. So, I mean, I think this week will be his last chance. If he doesn't do anything this week, then they probably will make the call. Whether it's Hugh Greenwood or Tyler Sellers, I'm not too sure. But we'll have to wait and see. Now, we move to Fremantle. Siobhan, are you feeling confident that we can knock them off? Because it might be our best chance for the first 5 rounds, by the looks of it, looking at our fixture.
I was marking down the victory. I wasn't even going to bother going because I knew the result until I watched Freo against Brisbane. And then I probably got the wake-up call that maybe I needed to get. They were excellent against Brisbane. Brisbane aren't playing to their full capacity, but Freo looked outstanding. So it'll be a challenge. And unfortunately, just for where we're at the moment, I think every side we play, bar one or two, is going to be a challenge. I think they have a great little quartet of of small forwards in Switkowski and Michael Frederick, and some of their players are they're elite. I mean, Sarong broke the record for the most disposals for a Fremantle player. They've got Andy Brayshaw in there. Sean Darcy's no slouch. So they've got a lot of quality through there. But do I like our chances at home with our two sort of skippers back? We've come off a fairly promising performance against GWS. Yeah, I do. I think we can be super competitive. I think if our midfield play well and they provide that two-way running, which I think sometimes we lack from that group, we can challenge them. If we play that North ball style, we can challenge them. Larky probably had the worst three-goal game I've seen him play in a while. Taylor clearly just dominated him, and he still managed to kick three. So against an undermanned sort of back line, I think that their skipper in Pierce will go to him. But he could have a nice day if we move the ball direct and with arrow-like precision as well. So there are parts of the ground where I think we can exploit them. And yeah, I think we are a big chance to win this game. And I'll be going to the ground on Saturday thinking that we can win. And I'm just hoping that the boys think that too. I mean, we haven't had a lot of wins in a while, and I don't know where the belief factor is sitting in this group, but they've got to go into this game thinking that they can win, because they can. And I actually think we will.
Jesse, do you think we're half a chance? I mean, Fremantle are a different team away from home than they are at home. So, yeah, I mean, their record speaks for itself in that regard. Siobhan's pretty confident. How are you feeling?
Yeah, look, I was probably a little bit the same as Siobhan. I was a bit more confident before I saw them deal with Brisbane. yeah, look, I'm going to the game thinking we're at least a 50-50 chance, which when you've been how we've been the last few years, is pretty good. We're going to have to crack in. We're going to have to play that North ball style. We're going to have to play aggressive against them on a Marvel deck, which we haven't played at yet with this game style. So that's going to be really interesting to see how we go. That should help us, but it gives Fremantle the ability to score quickly against us. And that, like we've said, they've got some very dangerous players, and we're just going to have to make sure that we're able to account for that. We need to defend a little bit better than we have beforehand. Make sure that we man up better, add that, like we spoke about, make sure that we add that forward pressure that we just haven't been doing. And that's what we're going to have to do. But I think this is a real chance. And if I'm Clarko, if I'm anyone in the playing group, I'd be reiterating that fact that you are a real chance of winning a game of football this week. And, you know, you have to bring it. You have to bring it. And look, they've talked about this week about how, you know, this game might as well be behind closed doors because there's going to be no one being there. I understand people can't go every week, but if you're a North fan and you have no excuse not to go this week, I'd absolutely be going. Make sure that if you can, you know, get around it. So, absolutely. Look, I think we're a real chance.
Sounds good. In saying all that, Siobhan, what's your final prediction for the game?
Look, Dina, I actually think we can win the game. I have us winning by a very small margin, but I truly think that we're a massive chance to win this game. And like Jesse said, if we can play, I think the thing that we're struggling to do at the moment is play four quarters. We have bursts of brilliant footy, and then we just let the opposition back in and we struggle to claw our way back. If we can play for four quarters, then we're a huge chance to win the game. I have us winning, and I think Larky will have a really good day. And I think Dawson will probably get the role on Jaimis if he can keep him relatively quiet and our midfield. Who I think there's one player that I'd like to put a bit of pressure on, and that's LDU. I said off air to you guys, I just think he's coasting at the moment. I thought he was coasting in the preseason, but that's a preseason match. I thought against the Giants, he was okay without being great. I think against the likes of Sarong and Brayshaw, and I know Michael Walters rolls through there, and Nat Fife, he can be great. He can really stamp his authority on the game and break it open for us. The game against Freo last year in Perth, where we won, which just brought me more serotonin than I can ever ask for. he was excellent. Davies Uniacke was the reason we won that game. There's no reason why he can't do the same thing again. So call to arms for him to really put the others, come with me, guys. And I think if he stamps his authority on the game, I think Powell and Lazaro and the other mids that are rotating through there can probably do the same thing. So it'll be a battle of the mids, I think. And ultimately, that's where the ball is, or the game's won and lost. So if our defenders can just stick to their man a little bit more, and that's another thing I was a little bit confused with last week against the Giants. I'd like us to play more of a one-on-one type game rather than be so far away from the opposition forwards. I think if we can stick close and at least kind of limit their scoring, I think on the Marvel deck, we'll win this game.
Well, certainly sounding confident there, Siobhan. Jesse, you sounded confident before. Your final prediction?
I've tipped Fremantle.
fair enough.
You know what? I've tipped Fremantle, but you'll remember before the first game when I refused to tell you who I'd tip because I was worried about bad luck. I'm happy to lose that tip. So maybe a bit of reverse psychology there. Yeah, look, I think we're a real chance of winning. I think it will be a narrow margin either way. I'd be disappointed if Freo did us by a margin. It'd be beyond disappointing. It'd be heartbreaking. I think we're a real chance of doing an upset. I think it is. I think we're paying like $2.50 or something. So it will be an upset if we win. But, you know, it was an upset last year, like Siobhan said. That was a massive serotonin boost. We went into against Fremantle. When's the last time we won in Perth? Well, we beat West Coast a couple of years ago. But other than that, I don't think we've won there ever. No. So, look, I think it's a real chance at home on a marble deck that should suit our new game style. I think the boys just need to crash in with conviction and know that they can win that game. There just needs to be a level of belief. Because I think, you know, Siobhan said this, that the one thing that we're not sure about is how convinced they are or how much they know that they can win. Yeah. Just 'cause you haven't won enough games. So,
yeah.
Look, hopefully they know that they can do it. Hopefully... Yeah. Look, as I said, I've tipped Fremantle, but... You know, screw it. Let's say North by 3 points and another absolute heart stopper.
I don't enjoy those games. So.
No, I don't think any of us do, but I'll take a win. They're nice to win them.
I don't want what happened. Was it the Sydney game last year where we lost the game through an interchange infringement?
Surely that will never happen again on a football field. Oh, God.
Yeah, you never know with us. We seem to find new ways to lose sometimes. So, yeah, who knows?
Harry Sheen's a toe poke to win the game.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He did that against Freo last year. He stopped at point. He did the old toe poke towards the boundary line. Yeah, that's pretty much all I have. Siobhan, you got any final messages out there for all your disciples?
I think just reiterating what Jesse said, I didn't like the article that got published regarding the low numbers predicted for the weekend. So if you are a North supporter and you have some time, don't wait till Good Friday to come out in your colours, come to the game, support the boys. I think this is a genuine winnable game for us. And the only way the boys can believe they can win is if they've got us behind them really cheering them on. So come down to Marvel Stadium and hopefully we see a good performance.
Definitely. Jesse, any final messages out there?
Yeah, look, I think what Siobhan said there was spot on. The one comment I will make, just really quickly for anyone who, people scroll in after this, but just best of wishes to absolute legend of the North Melbourne Football Club, Mason Wood, because he got a really bad concussion. Put it on in the background and it was sickening. Yeah, it wasn't great. Got upended in the air and then whiplashed into the ground and was kind of writhing a bit. Oh, so, as a former North player who's made the absolute best at his new club, absolutely wish him the best. So, hopefully he's well. Round one last week, round two this week. It was really exciting to have football back. A bit odd that we've got a bye for Carlton. But anyway, good on them. They've earned it. They've won two games, so good job. Maybe they deserve it. But yeah, look, I think it's going to be a really, really exciting game on the weekend. And look, as we've all said, if you can make it, go. We need the support there. Someone put a joke out during the week of this is what it's going to look like when the club gets to – what's the 20th club going to look like? And they renamed it to the Western Kangaroos. So while I'd be happy to take Tim English, Bontempelli, Norton, Jamari Hagen off their hands, I don't really want to be in the same club as some Bulldog supporters I know. So.
Yeah, no, fair enough. No, well, it all sounds pretty positive from you two. So, and good messages out there to finish as well. Try and get down to the game if you can. 1:45 on a Saturday. I'll probably be a bit late. I've got commitments on just before that. So, but I'll still get down. And hopefully we can definitely put in a good performance and get the 4 points and get our season going. Our first home game of the year. Siobhan, I appreciate you coming on. Thanks so much for coming on. I'm sure I'll chat to you next week.
Anytime, guys. Go Roos. Thanks for having me again.
Jesse, thanks so much for coming on. Always a pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
So thank you very much to Jesse and Siobhan for coming on the show once again and previewing our all-important matchup against Fremantle on Saturday afternoon. And a good message there, try and get down and support the boys if you can. It makes a big difference. Being that 90th man, I've spoken to a few of the girls during finals, and the support they get, they can certainly hear it from the ground, and it certainly plays a difference. It almost plays as a 17th player for the girls, so I'm sure it makes a big difference for the boys. And get down, I think it'll be an exciting game. I think we'll play some good football. I think we'll play an exciting brand of football. So that's the most important thing, and hopefully we can get the 4 points. But Fremantle certainly did look good last week. Once again, thank you to all you lovely listeners for all the likes, retweets, and comments you all put out for the show. It's much appreciated. Telling your friends about it as well. The downloads are going pretty well at the moment, so I have all you lovely listeners to thank for that. I'll be back next week to review our performance against Fremantle. Hopefully a win, but we'll see how we go. And that's it. So bye for now, and go Roos.